go into the last song. I was like, Lord, speak to Ray if it's not supposed to happen. And he ends it. And I'm like, I don't see that happen. But I just want to take the few moments that we would have sang the last song and just open our hearts to the Lord before we go into whatever the Lord wants for this message. So let's just seek him real quick. Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you in our humanity, Father, that you are strong. That in our weakness, Father, you're strong. And Father, we all come from different situations, Lord. We've all brought in our own baggage, life situations, passions. And Lord, you brought us here together, Lord, to share in one another's pains, in one another's joys, to fight the good fight as a family. And Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts. Holy Spirit, take control of this service. Whatever you want to do, Father, it's yours and yours alone. And so have your way in us, Lord. We worship you. You are worthy. You are holy. You are good. We love you, Lord, and we give you all glory in your name. Amen. No, just the stand's fine. Thanks. I feel like sometimes when we preach, we're very organized. Other times it's scattered and it really doesn't come together until you're really up here. I told Jenna this morning, I'm like, it's one of those mornings where it's scattered. And she's like, it never sounds that way, but I definitely feel it. But I really kind of feel somewhat disconnected. I came back last week after feeling like in a cloud for about a month. We hadn't been here. And so I don't really know actually what God was speaking through other than Chris last week. And but actually before, I think it was before we had Declan, I think there was this message was on my heart, and I think it was supposed to happen the next time I preached, and so it's been kind of sticking with me, but really not coming together. What's interesting is part of this, or some of the passages, I actually went back and realized rarely does this happen, but in 2020, I actually used some of these passages, and kind of is similar, but part of this is an answer to, and also just kind of, you remember when we had those meetings that Nick called. You remember the email that we got, the first one when it came through the flock note that said, Holy Spirit's leading. We met, God began to do a good work in all of us. We had multiple weeks where we met, and then we had a time break where we continued to meet, and then we had our next meeting. I'll remember that. And it was interesting because it's like we kind of got back together. How are you feeling? Are you discouraged? Are you feeling like God has been moving, doing things, all those stuff, and so everyone kind of let their thoughts be known, their hearts. It was kind of just a moment of honesty for all of us to share kind of what God was doing. And I was, one of the things after that, that God put on my heart was to pray for those who were scared, and to pray for those who, whether it be me or whether it be others in our family here, that are so comfortable that the idea of what we were doing on Sunday nights seemed like something we didn't really want to reach towards, whatever that looked like. And Gabe, I've been thinking a lot about what you said, how in all of your honesty you said, I'm not really sure what this is, and I don't know if you're still there. And I don't really have an answer for you, but I do have kind of a thought of my own. It's funny, Jenna said that during this week I didn't know what she was going to talk about. I don't think she really knew what she was going to talk about. But I didn't tell her at all what I was going to talk about until I think she's like, what are you speaking about tomorrow? And I'm like, I'll just give you the title. And I said, Moses is dead is my title. She's like, oh. She's like, so she just whispered to me as I passed. She's like, well, my message is a little different than yours. Moses is alive and thriving. Kind of shows, though, that God is moving and God is speaking, even we don't realize it. But the title of my message, if you want to call it that, is Moses is dead. And it might kind of surprise you where that goes. As I was reflecting on those meetings and what God was doing, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed when we think that there's going to be a moment in this church where we've arrived. You kind of thought that way. Maybe we've hit that moment where all this has led up to one exciting moment, and then it's just like, boom, we're here. And I realize, I'm like, sometimes I think I get that anticipation, like, what is this all building towards? This climax to what? And then it was really clear to me this week, I don't know what down the road looks like or what this is leading to, but I did know one thing is that God spoke to me very clearly. He's like, it's really not about what it turns into. He said, it's about what's happening right now in your life. And so, Gabe, if I can give only one encouraging answer, is that the process, in this case, is more important than the product. Because in the end, whatever is produced in your life individually or through us corporately, that is in the hands of God. It's not in my hands, not in your hands. As much as sometimes we try to play Holy Spirit without knowing it, we really aren't directing the ship. In the end result, the fruit of our labor, the fruit of wherever he's taking us, the lives that are touched, the ministries that start, the relationships that are built, and even your connection to Christ, that is all in his hands. But the process is the point, because you're human and you get to walk through it. Meaning a lot of that process actually comes down to how you proceed. And actually that was encouraging to me, because sometimes the process, as Jenna said, she's the process. I'm the end result. Get me to point A to point B. I don't want the in-between. Where's the highway? We went to Maine last year, September. I was like, let's get on the highway. And she's like, can I drive? You look really tired. I woke up and we're way out in the boonies. There's a lake on here. There's a cemetery here. There's not a house in miles. And I'm like, where are we? She's like, well, you said I could drive. And so we were way out in the middle of nowhere. And she's like, well, I am the driver. I'm like, okay, fair enough. And we actually really enjoyed it. But that's not me in typical life. I'm like, you give me a project, the process is all great, but really the end result's what I'm looking for. But in this case, really, it goes against my human nature to say the process is the point. And so I'm going to actually kind of come back to those meetings that we had and kind of close with a thought. But as I said, one of the things I was praying for those who came to those meetings, or maybe you didn't come to the meetings, you stayed home and you said, you know, and it may not be for that reason, but maybe it was, I'm kind of scared of that. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Or maybe you just said, I really don't want to open that jar of worms. And I want to tell you, that's okay. It's an honest truth, if that's how you felt. And because I've been there, and I've walked in that. I don't have a ton of scripture today, but I want to zero in on a few points. I'm actually not going to go to the first one, but if you want to write it down, I put down Exodus 3, 4 through 8, 10 through 12, and 4, 11. This is the story that's familiar. Moses is out looking for his sheep. He's shepherding in Midian, and he's out there, and what happens? He's wandering, and he stumbles upon a fiery bush, okay? Stumbles upon the bush. You go in. He's like, okay, what's this? Let's see if it's hot, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the voice of the Lord speaks. Now, I want to pause there for a second and ask a few questions that I actually was thinking at the beginning. I don't know about you guys. I'm tired. Jenna mentioned it. I'm like, man, and all of you dads, all you moms understand, like, we're in that stage where it's like, this is all new, and I'm used to not getting sleep because of my job, but this is a new level, and it emotionally affects you, and it brings things out in your marriage that you're just like, I've never been so angry at nothing about a child that's surviving off you, but I'm angry that this child won't be quiet. But I'm feeling very human this morning, okay? Very, very frail, very tired, and I know some of you stayed up late, and it's hot, and it's all the conditions for you to sleep, so bear with me just a moment. But I asked the questions this morning. Most of us have been in church for most of our life, or most of us at least have been here long enough that if I were to ask you these questions, your answer is yes. If I were to ask you the question, do you really believe, or can God get your attention if he wants to? Of course, yes. Can God lead me to where he wants me to go? Yes, of course he can. Does God know what the end product of wherever we are going, both corporately and individually? Yes. And so then I had asked the question, my brain intellectually knows that's true, but does my heart reflect that during the week? And me and Jenna both, at least I'm not going to share everything she said, but I'll tell you honestly, this week and a few weeks in the past, the answer to that has, in moments, been no. Does God really? Chris last week had a great point, a very vulnerable moment where he said he met in a prayer group. He didn't even know them. And he was like, I'm fed up. I don't want to answer. And his answer was, you know what? In this moment, I don't really believe that God cares. I loved it. I absolutely love to hear him say that, because who in this room has not been there? All the intellectual junk aside, the reality is we've all been there. And I am so, so grateful that God's grace and his provision and his direction is not hinging on what emotions I'm feeling or what environment I'm in or my weakness and failure in the moment. But his grace and his consistency, his love, that continues on with or without my situation pointing to that. And Moses is one who, as I'm reading this, I think when I was younger, I read the scripture, and if I were to preach you a message about 8 years ago, I would be very much high and mighty about rebuking those in scripture about the things they did wrong. Peter, man, we have beaten him like a dog about all that he did wrong, right? We could pick all the people out in scripture that were like, hey, every message due to them. Can you imagine being someone that someone writes a book about, and every time you go back to that book, it's like, man, their life was a mess. They screwed up. You know what's amazing about Moses is oftentimes we talk about, you see the things that he did wrong, when God will sum it up very much who he was. But when he goes to the bush, he goes there, and I'm like, if God was looking for someone that is faithful, someone that is trustworthy, someone that has faith, someone that is strong, I wouldn't have appeared in that bush. Moses could have gone in there, got a sheep, gone home, whatever it was, and I would have left that bush and ignored Moses, because what you're going to read in those passages is a man that from the moment he knows that it's God and God says, now this is what I'm calling you to. I've got your attention. And Moses says, what? No, I can't speak. Who am I? I can't do it. All this stuff. He gives a list of excuses, and finally God comes back, and what does he summarize? He says, who made your mouth? Okay, really, Moses, in this moment, who are you? Who made your mouth? Who made your lips? Who made your feet? Who made everything about you? And in this moment, the problem with Moses is not that he really is seeing God for who he is, but he's seeing himself for who he is. And that's the problem. I think most of our life we are going to spend fighting through seeing ourselves through God's eyes. And Moses, we see this story, and in hindsight, we get to look back and say, well, we know this is not the end of the story, but man, what a weak-looking man. Now, we are going to turn to this, and I will get to my point. Deuteronomy 32. Please go with me there. Try to stay with me. Deuteronomy 32. And I was actually going to read some, but I might just mention it in verse 48, and it goes down to 52. Is God speaking to Moses, and he's telling him what is coming very soon. He says, on that same day, the Lord told Moses, go into Abraham, range of Mount Nebo in Moab, across from Jericho, view Canaan, the land I'm giving the Israelites as their own possession. There on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die, and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to be to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites in the waters of Meribah, Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. It's not a very encouraging message, okay? If we're honest, how would you like to be in his shoes? God said, okay, go to this place, and when you get there, you're going to die. And also while you're there, you're going to get a glimpse of something that your heart has desired for so many years, but you're not going to get to go in because you're disobedient, but there you're going to die. I read this and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'd be feeling about that. And yet here we are, we're given this message. Now we're going to jump to Deuteronomy 34, one chapter over. And God finally brings to fulfillment the thing he's promised to Moses. The first part of this, he's going to say, okay, Moses, look at all these lands, look at the tribes. And he names the tribes, and we're going to go down. And this is, go to verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, and until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. And since then, no prophet had risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his officials, to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power, performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. A little bit more encouraging, especially the end part. I want you to think about a few things there. It said that Moses was not sick. He was not weak. His eyes had not grown dim. His death was not due to health. But one important point is that God was done with him. That the season for Moses' life was over. But it ends on a good note. He doesn't say, because of your disobedience, here you are. The last thing that he says about Moses is that he was a man who knew me, who did mighty things for me. And he finished his race well. I love that. He tells him privately, he said, the reason that you don't get to go into the land is because of the consequences. This was a choice that you made. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm pleased with you. And I love you that much to let you still see the promise ahead. The people that you've led get to go into that land. There's something rewarding in that, right? How many of you as adults had dreams that you didn't get to fulfill, but you now get to see your kids walk through some of that? That's rewarding in itself. Maybe there's a grief there that says, I really wanted that. I really wanted to be a part of that, but man, it's wonderful to see my kids enjoy that. I think for Moses, there got to have been something rewarding in seeing all of your life's work led up to this moment. Yes, you don't get to really walk in it, but you get to see it from afar. Now, honestly, this message is not about Moses. I'm not going to try to draw a bunch of messages or points from his life, but I want you to hear a few things. I want you to imagine yourself in the position of the people. Moses is a picture of past tense, and he is a picture of comfort. Understand that everyone that is about to go into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. Now keep reading. We're not going to today, but if you were to keep reading, they're not just on the mountain, and it's like, now step into it, it's yours. There is a journey ahead and a lot of difficulty getting there, but it's there within sight, meaning you are at your last leg. You are almost to what I have promised. But I want you to imagine the people. Everyone going into the promised land outside of Caleb and Joshua have always known Moses, and none of them have known life outside of a desert, right? There is no one in the generation before outside of Moses, Joshua, and Caleb who is still living. The punishment was all of you fled. The spies came back. You gave a bad report. What I promised you could have, you ran from, you fled. And only two said we could take the land. It was Caleb and Joshua. We know this story. But I want you to think about these people. They are desert dwellers to the core because that is all they've ever known. And now God says before you is a land that you can't even fathom. And a place with food that you've never had. And you get to go there. But I want you to imagine what it must have been like. And there's a level of guessing that we have to do. We don't really know what the people said. But if you were in their shoes, there's got to be a grief that happens. And we know there's a grief because for 30 days they grieve before moving on. I think God understands that for every passing of a season that you and I walk through, there is a time and a season of grief. Because that's not an easy thing to step into. A loss that great would be so difficult to say goodbye to Moses. He's everything they ever knew. He led them. Now understand, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. To them, Moses was God's representative. Up until this point, he led them. He was faithful. When there was no food, they cried out to Moses. He cried out to God. God gave them food. To them, Moses was a source of comfort. And now he's gone. He's dead. The season has passed. And the people grieve. And also, they didn't really get much choice in the matter. This was not a season that they could choose to step into and be stubborn. Now, they did have an option. You either go forward with Joshua, right? He said, now, the man Joshua, who Moses laid his hands on, is going to lead you. The people could have stopped right there and said, not a step further. Back to the desert with us. Moses is gone. Joshua, I don't know about this young guy right here. We know he's older now because he's been alive for a while, but they're like, he's not the one leading us. They could have gone a lot of different directions, but it says that they were going to choose to go with Joshua. I'm going to come back to that in a second, but I want to finish up what I was going to read here is Joshua. Go to just the page or two over, Joshua 1:1-6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, You and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the greatest river of the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean and sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their ancestors to give them. This was the plan all along. The desert was a punishment, but God wanted this land for the people. It's a good thing. And what I want to point out here is that this story really is not about Moses, and it's not about Joshua. What does God say in the start of that? He said, Joshua, my servant Moses, is what? He is dead. Now I am going to be with you. Now I read ahead, I didn't write it down, but if you read ahead towards the end of this book, Joshua is going to give a farewell address. And he's going to say the exact same things that Moses said to the people. If you follow God, he will direct your path. I love this laying on where Moses hands it off to Joshua. Joshua hands it off to the judges. The people follow them. But there's this aspect that you need to keep in clear picture, is that it's not Moses leading the people. It's not Joshua leading the people. It is God who's saying, I've used Moses, but Moses is dead. He's no longer with you. I'm going to use Joshua to take this next step. And then eventually Joshua's going to die, and the people are going to have to learn to lean on God. What is the purpose of this? Why is the title of my message, Moses is Dead? Is because in some ways I do believe that there is a season in our lives individually, but also corporately, that has died. And I don't understand all of it. But so clearly I see this passage and I say, we have a choice every day and every week as we're a part of this family, as we're a part of this community, to either step into what's next or to look back. And the one thing that I don't want to do is look back to Egypt or take one step back or further and say, I don't want to look back to the desert. But I also want us to understand one thing and take this in. Is that one thing I wrote down that I just was thinking about all week, is that promised land grapes are so much better than desert manna. But both are God-given. So wherever we were, whether last week or a month ago or 10 years ago, that was of God. A season that we're meant to live in. But God, the wonderful thing about God is he never wants us to stay somewhere forever, because there's always something better. The desert, there was a season where there was no option to leave the desert. He said, you will traverse the desert, was it 40 years or whatever it was, till this generation is gone, but you have to stay here. And while you're here, I will provide manna. And when you complain about the manna, then I'm going to give you some quail. But ultimately, that's not just what I want for you. I want promised land grapes, and I'm going to get you there. But you chose to go the roundabout way, but eventually we're going to get back. There is an aspect of the American life that I love and I also absolutely hate, is that we love comfort. If there's one thing that is our biggest downfall as a nation, is that we are comfortable. We run to it, and I want you to look back at your week, and I'm going to try to close up. What does this last week look like for you? You jumped in your car. What's the first thing you did? Crank the AC? Or if it was cold in the morning, you put a little heat on. You got into your shower, you turned it warm or hot or however you like it to fit your comfort. You got into your bed. I just bought some really nice sheets this last week, tried them out because I overheat. It was really comfortable because I like to have a nice sleep, if I can get it. What's on your table? Chances are, unless you're in survival mode, it's what you like. I'm pretty sure Nick this week did not have giant veggie trays on his plate every night. He didn't have rice chicken soup with cassava leaf on it because Nick doesn't like that. And he probably has the option, depending on if Linda lets him, to have what tastes good. Those aren't bad things. It is human nature for you and me to find the closest resource of comfort that we can get. We run to the light. We run to the dark when we're tired. We run to the cold when we're hot. We run to the hot when we're cold. We want good food. We want good things, right? These are all normal things. The problem is living a life of Christ-following discipleship will often force you away from the comfort. And we don't like it, and yet we love it. It is a weird juggling match that I hate it in the flesh, but boy, my spirit hungers for it. You would think that the promised land would be much more appealing than the desert, but I also thought that the desert might be a little bit more appealing than Egypt, but apparently not. It was at least a sort of assurance. I might get whipped every day, but at least I know I'm going to get whipped every day. I'm still going to get my food, go put in my hard day's work, goes the next, you know, whatever it is. There's still a comfort level in knowing what life looks like. That's not what we get in this walk of Christ-like relationship and discipleship. We run towards comfort. One of the challenges today is to go forward and fight the giants. Don't look at Egypt. Don't look at the desert. And ultimately, in this case, or depending on the situation that you find yourself in, don't look back at Moses, unless you're just seeking to learn a lesson in life. Moses was gone. He ran his race. A few years back, we lost a great man of God in this church. Some of you never got to meet him, and you really don't know how we got to this point, but we looked a lot different a few years ago. That man challenged us to stretch ourselves, to not be pew warmers. And sometimes he pushed hard enough that it made us uncomfortable. He wasn't content with the same old, because I believe that he knew that there was more for us. And God had placed him here to put a little fire under our rears. He led by example, both in our community and in this church family. And he never pushed us to do things he was unwilling to do. But when he passed away, which was contrary to what I had hoped and what we met here to pray for, we were left with an option to either look back, to run towards the comfort of what was, or to step forward. You see, what the Israelites had to do in the moment that Moses had died after the 30 days of grief, which was necessary, was to step forward. It wasn't about conquering the giants down the road. It was one foot in front of the other to the next step, to whatever God has. The giants will come when they come, but right now I just need to move forward. And after Paul died, it was a conscious step for many of us to step forward one at a time to whatever was next. To look back and take what we learned and to grow from it, but not to stay there. I think that Pastor Paul would be very discouraged if we had stayed where we were at. And I don't know why God took him, but I do know Scripture is very clear that unless a seed dies, and I'm not saying that in a physical matter, but in a spiritual sense, that's true. Sometimes something has to change for you and I to move forward. And I was very content to stay with Pastor Paul for years to come and never go anywhere else but to serve under him and to not have to actually lead. I would have been content and comfortable there, but it took his passing for me to be like, I can't stay here. I've learned a lot. It's time to move forward. I think he'd be pleased to see where we're at. I think these are some of the things you and I are getting to do today is the fulfillment of things that he prayed for and that he invested in us. Nick, when you emailed us for multiple months, and I know for many in here, but for me particularly, many of the things that you said in your email or what we said in the meeting at the meeting was exactly what the Holy Spirit was putting in my heart. But when I saw that email come in, I want to be very honest with you, I had two emotions. I was absolutely terrified and absolutely thrilled. And this is why. It's because I knew if that meeting was what I thought it meant that we were headed towards a lot of uncomfortable situations and a lot of stretching that I wasn't sure if I was ready for, but my spirit craved it. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to just play church. You and I have been, especially those of you who have been speaking for the last 3 or 4 years, we have been pounding the pulpit both to ourselves, to us as a family. We don't want to play church. We want to be the church. But there is still the aspect of, I want Moses. I don't want to move on. It's hard. It's painful. It's stretching. It's uncomfortable. And I was terrified because I knew that it might divide us. I knew that there would be days that you and I disagreed. I hate conflict. And I knew that whatever God birthed forth in this new season of life could cause a lot of problems in our church. And I didn't know if I really wanted to see that come forth. But the other side of me said, I don't care. If God is leading, then whatever happens will happen. But I want to be where the promised land is. And I want to encourage you, if right now you're like, I went to those meetings, I didn't go to those meetings, but I am not where you are, I am not where they are, I am not where anybody is, I'm back here eating manna, and I'm either pretty content or I'm scared. I'm scared of what's next. God knows. But comfort and fear would have Moses still back in Midian, being a shepherd. Fear and comfort would have Abraham still back in Ur under his daddy's household, maybe never stepping forward to be the father of many generations. Fear would have David still tending sheep. There's something about sheep. It's a comforting thing to be out there. But it would be fear and comfort for him to not run ahead and slay the giant and eventually become king. Gideon would still be in his father's basement, making wheat while his dad builds more aisles in the backyard. Every disciple would either be trying to conquer Rome, catching fish with a net, or sitting in a tax booth somewhere. I could go on and on and on because they're human. And all of them had to step one foot in front of the other and say, whatever's next, I'm for it. It would have been really easy for the disciples to say, you know what? I'm really comfortable in this simple life of catching fish. I kind of like it. And the idea of following you forward into persecution with a side of martyrdom does not sound the best option for me. Thankfully, they didn't know all of that was ahead, but they did choose to follow Christ. And by the time they got to that point where their life was at an end, they were more than willing to run towards it. But it's not about seeing the end result. It's about the process that you and I are in now. This week, whatever you do as you follow the Holy Spirit is not a sideshow. It's not whatever that end result is in a year that I'm pressing through. That's not what's important. It's this week. It's your waking up every morning and choosing to follow the Spirit's leading. And that process, as you choose to obey one step at a time, is the point. And whatever that result is, that's in His hands. Philippians 3:10-14 talks about this. Paul ends this by saying, I have not obtained it all. I'm pressing towards Christ. I am not looking back. And I only see a small glimpse of what's ahead. But I do know one thing for sure. I'm pressing on towards Christ. But I'm not looking back. Paul had a great foundation, a lot of theology, a lot of great training people that invested in him. But he said, I'm not looking back. I'm going forward to whatever that is. Eventually, that forward led to a prison cell and eventual beheading, but he ran towards that calling because Christ was his purview. I end with this. It's not where we're going, it's to whom we're going with. Nick, you said, I think it was earlier this year or something, and it was in last year, you said, our goal is to find where Jesus is and be where he is, to follow him where he's at. You don't need to be afraid of missing the calling if your heart truly longs to be obedient. I could shoot a 12-gauge shotgun, I'd have your attention. God knows how to get your attention. It's not about whether or not you're going to miss it. It's about whether or not you'll be obedient when the time comes. And so if you're worried about, what if I miss the person? What if I miss the calling? What if I don't go to the right place? What if I'm not in the right job? If you're walking with Christ and He is the driver of your car, you will be stopping at every rest stop that he stops at. And you will get out and do what he's doing. Moses is dead, and he has been dead for a long time. But God is the one leading us to the next step. Lord, we need you. Father, we can't do this thing called life without you. We can't distinguish your will by our own flesh. Father, we are in desperate need of your help. And Father, all that you're doing in our hearts, what you have been doing, what you will do, Father, we know that it's not about the end result, it's about this process, because whatever comes of it is in your hands. But Father, we want to find ourselves faithful. We want to find ourselves believing the things that we say, the music that we sing, the scripture we read. Father, we want that to be real in us, to be a heart thing, not just a voice thing. And Father, help us tomorrow, today, this afternoon, this year, that we would not look ahead so far that we miss this present moment with one foot in front of the other to step in, Lord. And whether, Lord, those in our family here find themselves running ahead, staying behind, stuck in the present, whatever that looks like, Father, help us just to be going forward into what you have. Take away all fear. Lord, if it takes it, remove our comfort to an extent that we realize, Lord, this isn't all we have, that there's more out there, that you have more for us because you love us. And give us the courage and the grace to step forward. Challenge us this week, Lord. Put something in our path where we have to choose to walk forward, to stretch ourselves, to be uncomfortable, Lord, because it's in those moments that we see your hand in your face and your joy is new. We love you, Lord. I bless our church family, and we love you. In your name, amen.